Welcome to Tuesday night training session. Amen. Jesus never came to bring religion. He came to bring a military operation. We got enough religious stuff out there. Glory to God. Matthew 7, verse 13. Everybody there? Let's speak it together, because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become, and what you sow is what you reap. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because what? Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In other words, listen, when you come to Jesus, it's not going to be guns and roses. That means the devil's going to be on you, man. He's going to do everything he can to get you out of the way, to get you to give up, get you discouraged, get you disappointed. Welcome to the earth. Amen? But your connection with the Lord is the most important thing. Your relationship with Him, you hearing His voice, you knowing His unction. The greatest thing the Father wants for me and you is to begin to know His thoughts for you. He wants you to see what He sees. That's the greatest thing He wants. But you got to give Him your heart. You got to give Him everything. And listen, it's wonderful to be on the mountaintop. Nobody likes the valleys. But the valley is the place you learn. And this is where God tests us, whether we're following truth or emotion. Everyone say truth or emotion. Man, the people that make decisions by emotion are the most dangerous people in the world. Well, I felt this about this. Forget it. Was it the truth? See, that's when the enemy always wants to get you in a place of emotional decisions. If he can get you in a place of emotional decision, he knows he can snare you. Remember, we do not fight flesh and blood. We fight powers of darkness. Amen? So listen, there are few who find the end result. Amen? And then the end result is a entrance to eternity. Well, I was saved 13 years ago. Well, how are you doing now? What do you mean? I mean, you can lose your salvation? You betcha. You give it up. That one saved always saves is a doctrine of demons, not of God. When you die, who you serve is where you go. Amen? So it's good to maintain a relationship with the Lord and to be in His presence. That's why every one of us at some time went for drugs, alcohol, or whatever. Why? Because we were looking for some fulfillment, and it was only in God's presence you can be fulfilled. And He's the only one that can change you. Other than that, you live a life of demon management. Amen? We want to live a life of freedom. So listen, the powers of darkness are always going to try and sway you to come back. The Bible says that they come back seven more. As much as they can. So listen, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it. In other words, there are not many who maintain it. You know, think about the Israelites. Millions of them, right? And only two of the originals made it home to the promised land. Only two of the originals. And you wonder how many people are not going to make it. Or they're going to miss the rapture and have to go through tribulation until they turn their hearts fully to the Lord. Verse 15, let's go there. And now He's going to warn us, okay? He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravenous wolves. He's saying, listen, be careful what they're telling you. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, now a tree represents a person or the spirit of that person. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. You know what that fire is? Hell. Therefore, by their fruits you will what? You're going to know them. Look at here. Then he says this. He goes, listen. Remember I told you about that narrow path that's difficult. Not everyone finds it. He says, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there's the answer. You want to get at home? You got to do the will. That's what grace is. Grace is God's plan to what? Escape. Oh, no, I thought grace was God's favor. No, man, you earn God's favor. That's why he put you through stuff to earn his favor, earn his trust. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Talk about a disappointment, huh? See, because they thought they were being saved by works. They lost relationship because the things that they were doing. They were practicing lawlessness. You know, God can use a donkey. Hello? He can use anyone. Just because God uses you doesn't make you right with God. And now I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You who practice what? Lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to be a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, that's the attacks. And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That means a solid foundation. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Again, the path is narrow and difficult. Few find it. In other words, few make it all the way to the end result. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. And so an entrance, what is that entrance? It's the eternal doorway. Will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How powerful this is. That's the eternal entrance doorway. It's called the eternal doorway. The name of the teaching is eternal doorway. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know what that gate is, that narrow gate? It is the eternal doorway. But you know what? If you learn the things of God, you won't get burned. Amen? Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Speak it. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by righteousness, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, in other words, if you put these things into practice, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. And so an entrance, what is that entrance? It's the eternal doorway. Will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How powerful this is. That's the eternal entrance doorway. It's called the eternal doorway. And John chapter 10. John 10 verse 1. That's speaking most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the what? I am the door. I am the eternal doorway of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? Much more abundantly. Again, many attempt to enter the eternal eternity in multiple ways. There's a lot of false religions out there. Amen. But you can't enter it without denying yourself. That's the one thing that separates denying yourself. Again, many attempt to enter eternity in multiple ways, yet they cannot deny themselves. And there are many false doors created by the enemy and traps. And these they trap individuals into a state of good. In other words, they think that they're good because they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thinking because they're good, they've got an entrance to heaven. But God says no. The only ones that will enter into heaven are those who practice his will. That means they practice righteousness. Because there's a difference between righteousness and good. Amen? In Matthew 7. In verse 7 it says what? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Again, ask. One of the things by asking, when we ask, one of the things we want to ask for is wisdom from God. Because wisdom tells you what to do. Amen? So when you ask and you get told what to do, now you're out in a seek process. You're in a pursue process. Now you're pursuing what the direction is. When you pursue what the direction is, you have an opportunity. God will bring you to an opportunity or a door of opportunity where you are able to knock. And he says, and then it will be open. You know, the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things will be added to us. So that is the process for me and you all the time. It also parallels with denying yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen? Because if you can't deny yourself, it's impossible to follow. And that's the first thing about it. You must deny yourself. But when we ask, we seek, we knock, we will find. It will be a door of opportunity, a storehouse of God, salvation. But we must have the key of endurance. See, too many people quit and give up. Their flesh is always getting in the way, or they're emotional. They're too emotional. They're still living out of the soul, and out of the mind, and not the spirit. And that's different. Everybody's looking for a feeling. When you look for the truth, you find Jesus. If you're just looking for a feeling, you ain't gonna find nothing. Amen? We want peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what we want. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, that's the old man, are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and all the like, which I have told you before, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not enter the eternal doorway. Amen? Those who practice such things. So if you call yourself a believer and you're still practicing these things, you will not enter the kingdom of Christ. Amen? Does everybody get that? These are works of the flesh, the old man. No open doors, but a shut eternal doorway. This doorway is the portal to which only the righteous can travel. It is a portal to where only the righteous can travel. 1 Corinthians 6. Jesus is the portal where only the righteous can travel. Travel where? Heaven and back. In verse 9, let's speak it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, they have no access to the eternal door, or eternal doorway, or that portal. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, that door is shut to them. Even if you call yourself a believer, if you're a believer, you're a follower. Amen? So you can't be a believer if you're not a follower. And such were some of you, but you were what? Washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not what? Helpful or good for me. All things are lawful for me, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. In other words, everyone you've had sex with in your life, every curse from that family line goes on you. Amen? Until you repent for it and break those curses off. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. No exchange. No eternal life. All for a one-night fling. Lose it. You broke covenant. And everything you stored in heaven is removed. You can be a believer for 3,500 years. And everything you stored in heaven, because you break covenant is gone. Everything's gone. But thank God you can repent and start over. But that is the price of it. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. We were bought with a price, and now we have a price to pay. It's called obedience. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Of course, a virgin here means someone that's washed by the blood of the Lamb and brand new in Christ. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, which means the anointing. They didn't get connected. They didn't stay filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." Listen, you can't buy nobody else's oil anyways. You earn your own. Why? How do you get the oil? Praise and worship. That's how the oil comes. Worship, worship, worship. You get your own oil by your worship. You can't get it from nobody else. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came out, and also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So we see that there was wise virgins and foolish virgins. Now the doorway to what? The eternal doorway to heaven was shut to them. Because they didn't stay filled with the Spirit of God, so they were doing works of the flesh. That's why the Lord said, "I don't know you." Why? Because he doesn't associate with sin. Amen? He doesn't associate with the flesh. He associates with righteousness. In fact, there's a sign in this front doorway. It says, "Justice and righteousness is the only way in." Hallelujah. Revelation 3. You know, after we get saved and we start the process of regeneration and then the conversion of the soul, the converting of the soul, the enemy tries to prevent that, cause delays all the time. He messes with your mind because that's where the battle's at. Amen? So you can't live out of here. You must live out of the Spirit. See, he'll try to prevent you from living out of the Spirit instead of, you know, he doesn't want you to live out of the Spirit. He wants you to live out of the mind. Why? Because he can beat you in the mind. Until the mind of Christ is developed in us. Revelation 3:14. Let's speak it. "And to the angel of the church of the Lord, the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, blind, naked, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may" what? "See. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now that door is your heart. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, opens their heart to me, I will come into them and dine with them, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, this is the door of your heart. God wants to connect your heart to his door, the eternal door. Amen? In James chapter 5. James 5, 7. You know, people just don't go out and sin overnight. You know what I'm saying? There's a plan for that. The enemy plans little bit by little bit by little bit. He compromises. The first thing starts off with compromise. One thought can lead you right down the path. One thought of agreement can lead you right away to doubt, confusion, lust. Therefore be what? Patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the what? The door. What door is this? It's the eternal doorway. Amen. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the previous perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Amen. So the judge stands at the eternal door. He checks it out, checks us out. That's why he tests us in every area. He wants to know whether we're genuine or not, whether we're genetic or generic. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Let's speak it together. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him who seek his face. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up and be lifted up, you what? Everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty to in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Everlasting doors of heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification, your separation from the world. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. See, we should reach a place where a person knows how to please God. Knows how to separate himself. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? But in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Sanctification, it means set apart from worldly ambitions, false hopes, and associations that would cause you to stumble. Greed. People fall in that trap. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Let's speak it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? Are there perilous times? All over the world. Amen. For men will be lovers of themselves. Hello. Not deniers of selves. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of what? Money. Oh, they put jobs before God's presence. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure. Rather than lovers of God. Oh, they got a form of godliness. They got a good talk, but no walk. But they deny the power. And he says what? And from such people do what? Turn away. For these are the sort of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins and led away with various lusts, always learned and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they can never reach a place of freedom. Now, Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. In other words, they can't accept it. Because they're living out of the mind and not out of the spirit. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all. And theirs was. Ooh. Perilous times are troubling times right now. There's many, all of these individuals will never have access until they turn and repent to the eternal doorway. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Let's speak it. Therefore, if anyone does, cleanses himself from his past, his latter, he will be what? A vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. That's different associations. Amen? But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle in all, able to teach, and patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So these individuals have been taken captive by the enemy. Will they have access to the eternal doorway? No. Cleansed. Cleansed. Sanctified. Avoiding associations of corruption. You know, right now it's so essential, so important. And I'm going to close in 2 Corinthians 6. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't get caught up in compromise. Don't get caught up in complacency. And don't get caught up in gossip. Amen. Don't be a busybody. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 14, let's speak it. He says, do not be unevenly yoked with together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. If they do what? If they come out from among them and be what? Separated or sanctified. says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean through your thoughts, through your heart, through your hands, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the reverence, honor, and respect to God Almighty. Amen? Know that there is an eternal doorway for each and every one of us. We want to make it there. Amen? So many people think, oh, I made it already. No, you didn't. Not until you hear him say, good and faithful servant, you've entered. Now you can go, hallelujah, I made it. But not until then. Amen? We're homebound, heavenbound. The doorway is there. But we got to get there. So there's something we got to do. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep denying yourself. Keep the fight up. And keep following. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And everything that's been imparted from you tonight into us, Lord, seal it with the blood of Jesus and the anointing of Christ Jesus, that it may penetrate and grow bare and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Give somebody a hug and tell them you did it.